afternoon, good morning, good after evening, good evening. What do I usually say? Who knows? Welcome back to RC Stuff powered by Hobbywing. As always, Charlie Sawanka here with Mr. Mike Chen. Mr. Chen, good afternoon, sir. How are you today?
Not bad. How about yourself, Charlie?
Can't complain. We also have the world famous Matt Gonzalez with us. Matt, welcome back.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
That's the only Spanish he knows.
See.
But this week, we're going to talk about one of the hotter topics in the recent Hobbywing news, our new G4R motors that have been announced, released, and shipped in time to make everything available for racing and all that fun stuff. There was a small batch compared to what we're used to in Hobbywing terms that got air shipped and to the first pre-orders along with some of the other pre-orders so that they were out there. But there has been a very high demand on these new G4R motors because they're pretty awesome. We'll talk about the changes, some of the recent successes they've had. Mike's got some questions for us about these new motors. And we also have the winner, of course. And he brought up some – this week's winner brought up some excellent questions that we're going to address here towards the end of the show. So without further ado, Matt – recently got to attend what's called INS14, the Indoor National Series, and it's in its 14th year of running. It's something that J Concepts puts on, and they host it this year a little bit differently, whereas previous years they had a dirt side of it and they had a carpet side of it. Now that's kind of combined into one series that's less overall races, and we've been able to go to all of those so far. And this was the first one that happened since the G4R motors started shipping. So, Matt, how did the weekend go?
It went pretty good. We had Tyler Hooks and Dustin Fox. Dustin's one of our newer drivers who joined pretty much at the carpet tramps that like Scotty has. We brought Dustin on, I think, a couple weeks like after that. And yeah, like the weekend like went good. Seating didn't go super hot, but no one cares about practice. So we decided to make some changes for the qualifying rounds. We went up in timing in 13.5. The 17.5 stuff has been really like easy. Usually most of the testing that I've done at like SDRC has equivalated over to some of this carpet stuff with even in the off-road scene, the carpet has seemed to be a little looser than it used to be when the carpet scene first like took off. So we've been able to use some of the information like from dirt to transfer over to carpet. So that's been super easy. Dustin Fox was able to win A1 and A2 in 13.5 four wheel with the G4R. And he qualified third also in 17.5 two wheel. And he kind of struggled in the mains with two wheel, but he was able to finish like fourth overall. So we were able to get a win and a fourth, and we had two cars in the 13.5 like four wheel main with Tyler Hooks as well. So yeah, I don't think it's a bad like weekend.
Yeah, I mean, when both of your drivers make all of their mains, that's a good weekend, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So you can't ask for a whole lot more.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. And then that was at in Michigan, yep. RC1, which is it's a large track. It looks like they have a pretty big layout there. And you even got some sweet snow while you were there, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. There was a whole lot of snow. I didn't realize when packing for the event. I remember calling Tater Sontag and was like, is it going to snow? He goes, yep, it'll be 30 and snowing. And I had already had all my clothes washed. And I'm like, okay, I just need like a hoodie and a flannel and some jeans. And oh boy, was I wrong.
You need one of those parkas, bro.
Yeah. I'm too small for snow.
Yeah. Well, so not a bad kickoff weekend for the first handful of motors that we were able to get out,
no.
You know, in time,
yeah,
to get
exactly
to the race and all that. So that was nice. So good deal there. We will have the setup sheets from our drivers posted on the Guru section of the website soon. We're in the process of kind of updating the organization of all of that into 12 scale, 10 scale, A scale, on road, off road. All of the different categories of racing. We're trying to keep it simple so you can make it easy to find what you're looking for. But we're in the process of getting all that handled. Matt gets everybody's setup sheets, and our team has been providing us monthly setup sheet updates. So that's been good. And we're looking to have a big push to get all that on the website here pretty quick. Some of it's up there now. If you go digging around that Guru Center, you'll find some of the setup sheets that we've had up there, but we're anxiously getting onto these new ones.
Working on it.
Mike has, as you guys know, works the front lines with me, talks to lots of customers, deals with lots of things around here, and he's been getting some questions, as have I, about these new G4R motors, and Mike's going to run those by us, and hopefully Matt will have most of the answers. If he doesn't, I'll make something up that sounds really
cool. Love it. All right. We'll run backwards in this order here. So I would say our fifth most common question right now is how do these motors, these new G4R motors, get geared compared to the G4?
Usually, which is, you know, odd, this motor pulls a lot more like RPM, so you would think you would gear it with a bigger spur gear or, you know, a smaller pinion to, you know, get the bottom and leg out of it. It actually likes a smaller spur gear than the G4 did. We've been running 69. Sorry, I'm locking up here, but 69.30. And that FDR, let me grab it right here because I know Charlie loves when I give him the FDR.
People love the FDR.
So let's see.
Final drive ratio is the spur gear divided by the pinion gear multiplied by the transmission ratio. And it's a starting point that we give in the instruction manuals for a lot of these motors as well. And it's a universal gear ratio number that can be used between different vehicle platforms because the transmissions in each of the vehicles, while they're very similar as like 2.7 or 2.8, whatever that number is, they're pretty close. It's not exactly the same. And when you start splitting hairs, that can start to add up. And this FDR final drive ratio number can be very helpful. So
5.98 is the final drive ratio that we've been running in two-wheel drive like buggy. In four-wheel drive,
17.5.
Yes. In 13.5 four-wheel, we've been running 78.26 in most of all of the vehicles, except for the Schumacher car. I believe we had to use a smaller like spur gear on that vehicle. Let me get the final drive by for you here. I have it written down somewhere in my notes so I can appease Charlie.
And these are loose starting points. Yeah. A lot of folks say, hey, what's the best gear ratio that we can run for these setups? And I always have the same answer, like, well, this is a starting point and you're going to have to adjust accordingly. And this gear ratio ties into the timing on the motor too, but we're going to get to that here in a second.
Yeah. So the gear ratio for 13.5 four-wheel drive buggies is 7.5. From what like we found to be the very best starting point.
I like it.
Right. There is some fine tuning. Some guys like a tooth up, down, whatever, and some of them like the timing one way or the other. So that changes that ratio a little bit as well. But it's a loose starting point. Okay.
Duly noted. All right. Thank you very much for those answers. Hopefully we won't get as many emails about that now. So the next question, what timing do you normally start with on the end bell?
With the stock like rotor in the both of the motors in 17.5, we've been doing 48, and with the 13.5, it's been 45. And then with the option JUS like rotor, we have been doing 52. With the 17.5 and in 13.5 four-wheel, from what we've seen, the JUS rotor runs a lot hotter. So I would just keep with the stock, the HUS like rotor.
Hmm. Okay. And what was the difference in those rotors again?
The JUS is a higher strength, and the HUS is a little like lower strength. But it's the same size.
So these letters
and all that stuff.
Go ahead. The letters have to do with the part number description, and that's what we refer to these as. HUSB is the standard rotor that comes with the motors. That's great. And then we do a stronger one because people love tuning rotors that has a higher magnetic strength reading, which equates to less RPM, more torque. So you get a wider range of power band type of thing. I hate to use the term power band because I feel like that's not accurate, but it does make the RPM window that works a little bit wider. So.
That was exactly the answer I was looking for, Charlie. Appreciate it. This is why we keep you around.
I speak customer, so I try to make it easy for everybody to understand.
Yeah. I'll tell Charlie every racer thing, and then he'll like translate it into terms that I can tell people.
Well, I think racer term is kind of like regional, I guess you'd say. Some racers use certain terminology, so there's like different slang at different tracks that people use these terms more loosely or more accurately. And sometimes when people say power band or delivery or feel or punch, it kind of means different things in different parts of the country. So,
see.
Nice. All right. So, with the upcoming Roar Nationals, can people come by and get factory support from you?
Of course. If anyone has any Hobbywing questions,
resounding yes.
Motors.
We would even encourage you, go buy some Hobbywing stuff if you're coming to the Nats, because we'll be there to support you and make sure that you're dialed in and got all the factory fresh setups and all that stuff. So
exactly. We'll give you the hot tune.
We don't. That's one of the big things we've been pushing, is we don't try to keep any of these setups secret. We talk about the setting changes that we do. We try to share that information with everybody, and more so, not just blindly put that into your car and say you're going to love this. Go run it. Let us know if it feels good, bad, or indifferent, and we can make changes to address what you need it to do. And a lot of this comes down to the fact that we get to talk to a lot of racers that use a lot of different terms. And Matt's what I would call a real racer. I can say, listen to what he has to say about how the feel is or what the driver's asking for, and we can kind of turn that into another way to explain it so that everybody can understand it or you use that correctly, I guess you'd say. Because the guys, they always come to the race, I want it to have more punch, I want it to be faster, and I want it to be smoother all at the same time. So it's all kind of contradictory type of things that start to happen. So getting that balance, something we can definitely help with, and more so at a race like that, because we're working with so many drivers, we'll have a larger knowledge pool to pull from and share information.
Yeah.
So.
And science is good. We've been sciencing a whole lot the past few months.
With Matt's lab coats and got safety goggles?
Spreadsheets for days.
Spreadsheets, lab coats, safety goggles, the whole nine yards.
I think we're going to get some lab coats for racing pretty soon. That'll be our new team uniform, is that you wear the lab coat, because we got here with science.
Oh, that would make a really good Instagram post.
Yeah, we'll work on it. This is an old ad that Novak did years ago of all of the engineering staff standing around with lab coats, you know, like, hey, we're smarter than all of the other brands that are out there because we have engineers. So,
not stealing, recycling. It's what you're doing.
But there you go. Yeah. Fun memory.
Everything's a remix. All right. And I think this last one's actually going to be for Charlie, because this is the absolute number one question that we are getting right now. When are these motors going to be available again?
My joke on any time someone is in my history of working in the RC industry, I've always said 2 weeks. It's a longstanding joke that's been around, that we do everything in our power to never be out of anything for more than 2 weeks. And sometimes things are beyond our power or out of our control, so to speak. Shipments, tracking, material supply, things like that. But very soon, I do have confirmation that more are inbound, and the logistics of exactly when, I will say it's probably going to be 2 weeks-ish, maybe less, maybe more, because that's a cop-out answer that I can give and still have a leg to stand on afterwards. So soon as possible, though, I swear, we're not keeping these from anyone on purpose. So, but they are coming soon. Get your back orders in, get your pre-orders in. They'll be stocked up pretty quick here.
So what you're saying is they are coming.
Oh, for sure.
Get it?
So I've seen the there's a chance.
I've seen the tracking number with my own two eyes.
Wait, you don't have a third eye?
Only when I go camping.
Okay. All right. I think that's the top five questions we've been getting this week.
Five questions. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I can only count to five.
I'm sure there's more, but we'll get to that in future episodes. If you guys have questions about the new motor that we didn't address here, go ahead and shoot us an email, rcstuff@hobbywing.com. We'll address that stuff. I do get asked occasionally, and I've touched on this in the unboxing video too, what is different between this motor and the old motor? And the short answer is everything. The N-Bells do look similar. They're machined in a different way, so they have a different color stylizing to them. But the stator is completely new. The rotor is completely new. The sensor board assembly itself is completely new. And I think the only thing that stayed the same was the little aluminum cap that's on the back, and well as the little rubber plug that goes in the sensor plug itself. Everything else is all new parts for this version of the motor. So
new motor, same old plug.
Yeah, same old plug, which is good. There's nothing wrong with the plugs.
No.
But I think maybe one of the only motors that has the dual sensor ports like that. So it's super handy for installs. I thought that was a waste of time and energy. And then I saw that people actually use that depending on how they have their motors laid in their car. So
it is so useful. Anytime I like swap out a motor when I'm using like the G3 like mod stuff, my sensor wire is always a little too long. So then I can just plug it into the other port when I throw in the G4 like line of stuff. So it makes it easier.
And then another hot topic that has come up is the Blinky class updates. The just stock G3S and the new stock spec G2. Those are both pretty new releases that happened within the last month or two. Sadly, found some quirks in their original release firmware. In the just stock, it really had nothing that affected most of the USA racing. It was a thing for the RPM limiting that we don't use here. But in the stock spec, we did find some hesitation under real big loads, tall gearing, spec motors, stuff like that. You'd get a little stutter at the start. So both of those situations have been addressed with firmware updates that are being processed through Roar right now for approval to get on the list officially so that all that stuff is back to A-OK. As it stands right now, neither of the old firmwares are an advantage in any way, shape, or form. In fact, the stock spec G2 original firmware is kind of bad. So you definitely want to do the update on those guys when you get them. If you have never updated a Speed Controls firmware before, a couple minor things to go through just so that we say it out loud every time we have an opportunity to bend your ear on it. Put the phone in airplane mode, turn off the Wi-Fi, keep the phone 2 to 3 feet away from your update device so that the signals don't get too close, because that's a thing, and make sure your screen doesn't go on lock. Make sure that you're not getting any calls. That's why I say put it in airplane mode. Because if the speed control comes disconnected from the app while it's doing the update, you can brick a speed control and it may not come back. In the unlikely event that that may or may not happen, sometimes you can bring back a bricked speed control by forcing the update using the Windows program. There's a USB link on the website that you can use with a Windows PC. It has to be a real Windows PC, not an emulated Windows operating system. For some reason, it's just not happy that way. But sometimes you can bring a bricked speed control back from Brickland using that method with the LCD program box. So those are my hot topics that have come up the last couple weeks that we still get emails on, so we want to let folks know that that's all in the works right now. And then...
Charlie.
Wait, yes?
On that topic, let's throw the... I spent time making those articles, so let's throw the link to those articles in the description.
Perfect.
Of this show.
I will do that.
You're a genius,
yes,
Mike.
I did a thing.
You're a genius.
On the Hobby Wing Direct website, if you go to support, there's a Guru Support Center. And in here is all the stuff that we talk about on a regular basis, ranging from instruction manuals, speed control setup sheets, tech topics. The most frequently, like if the question gets asked more than twice or maybe 4 times, we make an article about it so that it goes up there so that it's searchable. And folks can find that information in case they want to look it up, or they're late at night, you do the Google search, that stuff comes up. So it's all catered around the same way that I live my life, by looking things up on the internet before I ask anybody. And that's why we try to make these articles. And Mike has been the guru organizer himself. They had me in charge of it for a minute, and everything was screwed up. So they put Mike in charge, and he fixed it all now. So it makes sense. So thanks for that.
I wouldn't quite say I fixed it all. I'm still working on it. It's still a work in progress. But
he's fixing it actively.
Yes, almost every free moment I have, I'm going through something in there. So yeah, we'll link those two articles in the show notes. Sound good?
Yeah, for sure.
Perfect.
I can do that.
Yeah, there's the program, there's the actual. So there's two articles. One that's going to tell you the latest versions of all the firmware. And the biggest thing I've been noticing too, with the stuff, is that you have to make sure your phone, your mobile device that you're using, is up to date. Mm-hmm. Like if you're off by one version, it still doesn't work. It's something with security updates, and I'm assuming security updates and the way Bluetooth is communicating data. So
it causes mayhem
if it's not on the most recent. Yep, exactly.
I actually found out some. This is an odd, nerdy thing to know about, and I just want to say it because I know it. That the latest generations of phones, because there's so many devices that have to do with location, all of the operating systems have all these security checks in place around using your Bluetooth based on location, and that affects the app directly. Only because it uses Bluetooth. It has nothing to do with the actual location, but because the operating systems are more powerful than the app, that all starts to happen. So, good times.
Nerd.
Nerd. Because it was another one of those things where I Googled it. I'm like, what the hell? And I came across too many articles and a couple YouTube videos, and I drew my own conclusions after that.
So. This is all...
You went down the rabbit hole.
More reason to get a lab coat. This point,
no. If any real, like, actual smart people ever talk to me, like, this guy's an idiot. He just looks everything up online and makes up the rest. But you're right, I do. It's got me this far. All right. So those are the hot topics that I wrote down so far, and you guys are all like, well, "What's the? Come on, get to the winner already."
Is it time?
I'm waiting.
The real reason that folks listen to the show, and what do I allude to on every single episode of The Charlie Show, which you can find on the Hobbywing YouTube channel that goes by the official name of Hobbywing Official. That's the actual name of the channel. If you go punch that in, you'll find a channel called Hobbywing Official. It's got a playlist on there. It's called The Charlie Show. I've been doing one episode a week. Every Tuesday, there's a new upload. Since I've worked here, and we're at 363 episodes now, I think. So I think I started here in 2016.
Whoa.
It's a huge backlog of videos. And it's anything from, you know, Speed Control unboxings to product reviews to nerd ventures that I get onto. So lots of fun stuff on there. Give it a watch. And then we also have our Instagrams, at Hobbywing. And we have our Facebook page as well, the Hobbywing North America one. And there's another Facebook one on their Hobbywing technology that we're looking to combine and get all together. But you can follow all of those for lots of information on cool, fun stuff. And the real reason that you've all tuned in to RC stuff is to find out, one, either how to enter to win the free RC stuff or to find out if you've won the free RC stuff. So, Mike, what do they have to do to enter to win the free RC stuff?
You got to send an email to rcstuff@hobbywing.com. Make sure you include your name. Type out your email address, mainly for Charlie. Don't forget your address, your phone number, shirt size, and what kind of RC stuff you're into or RC stuff you want to get into. Include any questions for the show or guests you'd like us to bring on, and any other RC stuff topics. We also like stories. We love story time here.
I love me a good story. In fact, this week's winner, they got chosen because of their awesome question, because this was one that comes up before, and it's something I haven't mentioned, so I wanted to say it here. But without further ado, from Spanaway, Washington, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Jeremy Decker. Congratulations.
Woo!
Oddly enough, Jeremy's into stock buggy racing, so I think, you know, you might get a new G4R motor when he's come back in stock as your prize. Or maybe a stock spec G2S. Maybe both. Who knows? We'll see what we can come up with for you.
Both.
But they've been racing. Him and his son both race. They run at Scott Brown's track, Tacoma RC Race.
Love that place.
That's super awesome. Right. He asked a couple good questions here. Is there any future plans for Hobbywing to add support for live telemetry for FlySky Noble radios to any of the current or future racing ESCs? They both have Nobles, and they saw the video that I did on the XR2 and all of that cool stuff. Now, I'm glad that you bring that question up, because I asked the boss the same thing. And the short answer is probably not. There are rules in place for the sanctioning bodies that do not allow that to be a thing. You can't have adjustability of the speed control from the radio. They put that in writing a few years back so that the technology couldn't allow people to cheat from the driver's stand or make this a required thing that had to happen for racers, adding more complexity is the way I understood all of this. So
it would be cool.
The likelihood of telemetry and live adjustment of speed controls coming into the racing stuff that gets officially approved for racing, probably not very likely, because it could create some problems for the racing stuff later on. That's not to say we can't make an offshoot of non-racing products that are very, very different, that are not like approved for sanctioned racing, but do all the same things that our racing speed controls do. So there's going to be some options there. And I am a huge fan of the telemetry stuff out of the speed control into the radio, and especially the adjustability. So I'll be pushing for that and trying to keep us all informed on the status of that stuff. He asked then if there's any other G4 arm motors coming down the road, like a 21.5 or 25.5. I would say the likelihood of a 21.5 is pretty likely. The 25.5 less likely. He didn't even ask about 25.5. I added that. But I've been asked that before, so I brought it in here. The 25.5 didn't get the G4 update. It's still on G3R, and it's just due to demand more than anything else. When we go to make these motors, we make thousands of them, not like dozens or hundreds. So it has to, the market's got to be there for it. And for a minute there, 25.5 kind of took a dive. 21.5 also kind of took a dive, but they're both making a comeback now. So we're going to assess all that. But I'd say way, way, way down the road, we could see a 21.5 towards the end of the year, something like that, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
And this is my favorite question. Is there any chance you're coming up to Tacoma RC Raceway for a race? Yes. There's definitely a chance. There's always a chance. We're going to try to – I've been there once before, and there's plenty of races that Hobbywing goes to as part of our travel events, and we're trying to branch out a little bit more, get to cool new places, send Matt, maybe not me, because I don't get to go everywhere that Matt gets to go, but I can say that's definitely a possibility, because if we do get to go, I'm going, because I miss Scott Brown. We have lots of stories to tell.
Yeah, I'm like, I went there a couple times, like when I was a kid with my dad. Place is pretty cool. The driver's stand is really
smallest
high.
Hobby shop with the most amount of inventory. We've talked about it before on the show, I think. So,
I don't know. We might have to have a comparison on that one. And that's the last statement. Smallest hobby shop with the most inventory.
Oh, that's true. Because your place is the same way.
God, it's tiny. But yeah. You want to talk about having everything and anything that everybody needs while they're racing. It is impressive. That there's so much stuff, and Lowell knows exactly where everything is, like to the hook.
Awesome. Well, I think that covers all of our topics. Mike, did I forget anything?
James might still be fast.
Callie's definitely fast. Everybody, I've been seeing there's a bunch of racers going to like Squiggly Riding Land for some big international race. Do you know about that yet?
Yeah, they're doing a thing in the UAE.
That's it.
They're doing some big. It's an invite only race at the UAE. From what I've been hearing, is that there might be a lot of water features involved.
Oh, wow,
water.
So, cool. Yeah, well,
the United Arab Emirates, right? Is that what it's?
Yes.
Okay, I always.
Yep. Yeah. I would say if you're anybody who's interested in seeing what's going on here, go check out the MultiGP Facebook page or the website. I think that's where they have all their information right now.
Okay, cool. But because Shames' daughter, Callie, is going, that's the most recent post I saw. They were stoked on that. Gale Racer, so good on them.
One of our newest team pilots, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, so. I think, is that it? That's a wrap. That's everything?
See.
That's all the list.
Yeah, let's wrap it there.
Matt, you got anything for us?
I was going to talk about the throttle rate stuff, but we can do that like another time.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. We can talk about throttle rate, throttle curvature, and PWM frequencies with Matt next time we get back here on RC Stuff, because that's 45 minutes of jabbering all by itself, I think.
Indeed.
But as always, folks, thanks for tuning in. Another episode of RC Stuff powered by Hobbywing. We will see you all next time.
Bye.
Bye.
That's my line.